Hello. You are now listening to another episode of Tolu's My North American Dream Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am noticing some things as I'm traveling. I don't like it, and I need to talk to you guys about it. Let's go. Flight recording this podcast, but it is what it is. Into the game, ladies and gentlemen. I've been traveling about now at least solo since 2016, sporadically at first, and maybe just do one in 2016 to 2017. All these like small trips here and there, you know, the one that my small pockets would carry at the time. And here we are now in 2023. I'm doing a little bit more travel with, like, you know, credit cards, points, rewards, you know, trying to upgrade status a little bit, things like that. And I'm starting to notice some things around travel, which are starting to maybe not even like bother me. It's more like, excuse me, what's going on here? Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like the more quote unquote money you have, it's not really money because it's not like by rich, but like there's something strange about the way travel is now being set up where technically you can afford more, but the flights become cheaper because of that, either status, either credit card company, either reward points, things like that. And it's starting to become somehow now. Obviously, this is exacerbated by leaving Canada because Canada just has ridiculous flight costs. But I'm really curious to check out Europe because obviously Europe I haven't done much of. I've only done like the United Kingdom. But I'm going to lay out my thesis here in some interesting ways. I feel like the more you actually have to spend, the more airlines and reward companies and all these things covet you, the cheaper they try to make your travel so that you can be more frequent, quote unquote, as a traveler. But ultimately, it becomes and it takes the length or the value of the travel a lot further. So let's start with credit card companies. So if you are in the US or Canada, the typical ones are your Aeroplan situations, you know, with Air Canada, United, they're all aligned on this thing called Star Alliance. So if you have points on any one of the other, you can buy your flights, for example, through Air Canada and go on a United flight. You can buy your flights on a United and then go on an Air Canada flight, depending on the flight, because a lot of them are operated by each other. So if you have any Aeroplan points, it will typically carry over for both United and Air Canada if you're doing anything across those two countries. So that's one. If you have, like, for example, American Express, those points rack up very, very fast and you can transfer them to pretty much any airline partner at all. So this is off the top of my head, but I know I've used this to transfer points to Aeroplan, for example. I've used this to transfer to Air France and KLM. I've not used it for any other airline at this time because I've not needed to. But for the most part, when I think about places I can go with these points, I feel like it probably can stretch to a couple of other places. Maybe like a WestJet, maybe, I don't know. But I feel like WestJet is probably out of it. Now, I have used WestJet points separately because WestJet dollars. And those come with a credit card from RBC in Canada. And in terms of reducing the cost of my flights, the annual fee, of course, there was an annual fee on a couple of them. So the WestJet one, I believe, was 120. The TD one I had and CIBC, which were both Aeroplan points, those were, I believe, 120 each. And American Express, which I have in the US currently, because those guys change their pricing every once in a while and they review them maybe after a couple of years. The gold, if you want the gold, is 250 for a year. And the platinum, if you want that one, is 695 at this time in USD. So those are the prices across all of them. They rack up points pretty quickly. As you can imagine, those costs also add up. So you have to make sure that using them makes sense. But quite frankly, the flights add up the points add up pretty quickly. I took a flight from Toronto to Barbados almost exclusively free through Aeroplan points. And keep in mind, I got those points simply by doing regular spending. It was not as though I had to do any new spending because I had these cards, the standard grocery, the standard going out, standard going with my friends, standard, you know, food, clothing. those did not change. I did not go out of my way to start spending any new stuff. And keep in mind, while I was moving, of course, there's a lot of moving costs. So those also added up pretty quickly. And in some cases, I was reimbursed for the move. So to me, it was just free getting of the points. Sometimes too, I would pay for stuff for people if they didn't have, like, for example, the credit card limit, and they'd pay me back and then I'd get the points. So even though, again, by doing a friend a favor, I would then get the points. So you can see how, like, those points started to add up pretty quickly. I also had, at the time, 3 pieces of real estate and a lot of expenses that come with that, as you can imagine, repairs, anything that tenants need, you know, moving, paying off as much of anything through a credit card bill. So those kinds of things I had to rack up, and pretty quickly I was able to be flying and jetting around, as you see today on Instagram, with a lot of points, and the cost is, in my opinion, pretty negligible. Classic example, at least the most recent one, I was trying to fly out of, you know, somewhere in the Midwest in the US, trying to go to Canada. And the cost to go to Canada, and this is one of the scenarios where talking about Canada is paramount. And obviously, this is the section talking about Canada specifically. Canada's flights are just expensive, and it is not clear to me why. I'm talking between, like, flying into Toronto, flying from Toronto to anywhere else in Canada, like Toronto to Calgary, Toronto to Vancouver, Toronto to Halifax, Toronto to Montreal, Toronto to Ottawa. Sometimes you end up costing like $300, $400. And a comparable flight Toronto to New York, Toronto to DC, Toronto to anything is either the same or less. And I'm not sure why. You would think that these places would have preferential treatment for their own country, considering it's Air Canada. There should be some advantage to taking a Canadian flight in Canada. But at this time, it doesn't seem like there's any. In fact, it seems like it is significantly better to go to the US than to go anywhere else in Canada. Now, of course, there's a typical argument we can make that, you know, maybe not enough people are flying within Canada, which is fine. But, you know, it can be a chicken and an egg problem. Which one should we solve first? Will people fly more in Canada if the flights are cheaper? Or is it that people will not fly even if it is cheaper? It's not clear. And so hopefully, you know, one of these Flair and Porter Airlines starts to mitigate that. Now, when you introduce points into the mix, this is where we now start talking about what I said at the beginning of the thesis, where I feel like the more money you have, the cheaper things become. Those same flights, if you have status or airplane points, things like that, they immediately start dropping to like $50, $80. These kinds of ridiculous numbers using points. And again, these points you've already gotten from previous spend. So it's not any net new spend to use these points. It is not as though you have to do any special thing for it. And as you can imagine, if you had to pay for that flight without keeping any status, without keeping any points, without keeping any rewards, you would have to pay that $300-$400. But because you had a credit card that just accumulated points from your natural spending, you didn't add anything new. This was stuff you have to do anyways, taking care of your home, taking care of groceries, getting your bills. And a lot of people who are quote unquote not as rich do not get the opportunity to keep these cards. They do not get the credit to keep these cards. They do not have the opportunity to have this access to points. So for someone who has more money to maintain this kind of thing, your flight that ordinarily should have been $400 ends up becoming like $80, $60, because you're just keeping score from a previous expenditure. I don't know if that's fair or not, but it is somehow. That's just my point. It is very, very somehow. The flip side to this too is every time you use a credit card, of course, the merchant, that's whoever is selling you the stuff, or the vendor, has to pay a fee to some of these guys. And naturally, someone else may pay cash or someone else may use debit. So if someone like me is paying the same cost for the same product as someone who's using debit, as a result, technically people who are paying debits or full cash are subsidizing my cost, because unfortunately, and this is a philosophical argument now I'm getting into, but technically, because there is a cut of my money that goes somewhere else, either to Visa, to Amex, to MasterCard, you are subsidizing my fee, and also you are subsidizing my points. Because if the same item is $100, I pay $100, you pay $100, that's fine. Remember, I'm still going to catch some points off that $100. You who spends on a debit gets nothing. So essentially, from a from a real perspective, we are both $100 out. But I'm also getting something back for my $100. You get nothing. So in a way, everybody else who is paying full price and giving me points is contributing to my points in a very weird macroeconomic way. If you think about it in that way, all of you are helping us subsidize our cost, which is kind of somehow, but it's okay because you don't want to think that far and just realize that by paying full price, you are helping, you know, credit card companies and all of us who are doing this other route to be flying about left and right. But again, not the issue of this topic. Then we get into even more status. So more recently, I've been noticing this thing where even with the points, the cost to go on business class is now starting to be equal or less than the cost of an economy flight. And I'm not sure what is happening or why it is happening. I feel like it's just, again, this is just my own thoughts. Still just like unpacking it. I've noticed it said nothing, did nothing. But like it happened twice already. And I'm about to go on the third one, both leaving and returning. And I'm not sure if this is a 2023 thing. I'm not sure if it is an inflation thing. I'm not sure what's going on. But airlines are now starting to offer a scenario where if you have status, you have points, business is equal or cheaper than economy with the points. Now, obviously, if you're buying it outright, and this is what I was talking about where I'm saying, like, the more you can do, it seems like they want to subsidize your cost a little bit better. So if we're going on the same flight, let's say, for example, we're doing Toronto to, I don't know, LA or LA to New York, whatever, it doesn't really matter. Wait. If the economy class ticket is, again, for simple math, $400, and the business class ticket is $600, and then we bring in points into the mix, and it is costing for the same amount of points, let's say 20,000 Aeroplan points, for example, if you're using Air Canada, if it's costing around 40K in points plus $100 or plus $20 or whatever the case, I mean, 100,000 points is probably too high, or 40,000 points is probably too high, but it's more realistically like 19 or 18 or something like 29, again, depending on how busy the flight is. But if it's like 19,000 points plus $80 for economy, and business is something comparable around like 20K points plus $70. Now, sure, I may have to put more points, quote unquote, in terms of airplane points down, but the actual cash to me is a lot less because, again, remember, these points are accumulating anyways. I can't use them for anything. I'm not going to sell them for cash. I mean, obviously, you can also transfer them if you want. But for the most part, this is money I have already spent that has now just accumulated somewhere with these points. And now you are telling me all I have to do is for a new spend of flying, it's going to cost me maybe under $70 more or $80 more versus the overall price of business, which could be typically maybe like $500, $600. Then it's like something is going down. And one more. Again, not sure that I'm a fan. Obviously, I get to benefit from it. But it feels very somehow, especially when I think of it as, especially the times where I was like looking and hoping I would be able to afford to travel. And I could not because the prices, and obviously it was absolute price I was using, felt so out of reach. And even now as I'm flying, I'm like, the prices are still out of reach for a lot of people. Unfortunately, because they don't have access to the other things that almost like create its own special lane or its own special experience where you're using points, whether you're using your status. Okay, you fly 5 times, you get a 6th flight free. If you get these many, you know, distances or whatever, you know, 1,000 miles, 10,000 miles, 15,000 miles, whatever that tier system is, you then get this other special access. You know, for example, you get maybe like priority boarding, you get like, you know, lounge access. If you fly these many times, if you fly first class, all those kind of things. And again, the first class is now reduced because of points. So all these things in combination start to feel very, very somehow. The final piece to this now is even, you know, how I talked about like, you know, Amex having like $6.95 in terms of the fee. A lot of those things already come with a lot of perks, right? So a classic one is that Amex gives you. If you go to certain hotels, you get $200 off automatically just by it's being booked with the American Express card. And also because it is a certain type of hotel. Like I remember it's like Hotel Collection or Fine Resorts or whatever. There's some hotel collection that American Express has, American Express Travel specifically. And I believe that's only once a year. So it's not as if you can reuse it multiple times. But if you're only going to travel once a year even, and you've already gotten $200 off some nice hotel that's already, you know, off the $695. So now we're bound to $495. You get another $15 every month on like Ubers or whatever you want to do. And then I believe in the winter, you get like $25 specially for December alone. So, you know, like at the end of the day, these things start to add up. That's another $165 plus, you know, the $25 from the last month, which is another $190. So that's $190 out of the $495. So now another $300 and something. I believe there's also another like $100 that you get in if you're at the hotel, the special hotel I talked about, and you get $100 for any incidentals. So now we're down to what, $290? Then you get to pick an airline of your choice, and American Express will subsidize any additional cost, whether baggage, whether food in the air, whether any incidental cost above the ticket price for any singular airline of your choice. So again, now we're down to another $190 something. So you see how this thing starts to cascade. Now again, obviously you might say, well, I won't have needed to spend that $690. Sure. But these things start to add up over time. And this is also giving you access to special lanes even when you're flying. So for example, there's this thing called TSA PreCheck, which is all in the US, in a lot of airports, which makes you a trusted traveler. You don't have to go through as long a line. And then there's another area called CLEAR, which is another line within TSA PreCheck, which moves you to the front of the line, like the actual front of the TSA PreCheck line, which is already a fast separate lane. And so you see how all these things start to cascade on top of each other. And now someone like me doesn't have to worry too much about going to the airport really, really early. And then on top of that, I still get lounge access in a bunch of places, which I believe each time you go to certain lounges, it's like $60 a pop. If you do like, for example, a premium, or you could do like a Delta lounge. And so all these things start to add up over time. And you start to notice that for having status or for having a certain credit card or having a certain set of things, things start to get, from an overall value and convenience perspective, cheaper than if you had to buy them outright. And again, I understand this is a business because obviously it is profitable, and that's why a lot of people are leaning into it. But it does become very somehow if you are doing the whole thing of like, no, I don't want to use credit cards. And obviously credit cards are also innately dangerous for these reasons, where like you can build up a lot of debt very, very fast. You can get yourself in a lot of trouble very, very fast. 20% interest is wild, especially if you don't pay that off right away. So all these things, when you're going from a traveler's perspective, you know, if you're just paying attention, it starts to feel very, very something fishy going down. Like, what was really going on here? Man. And the other side too of it is even like the gold card, same thing. Like there's $10 every month, I believe, on Ubers all the time. There's another $10 at certain restaurants. You go to like a Shake Shack, and I believe it's, what's the other one? Grubhub, but things like that. So that's another $240. And then there's a bunch of other like perks that it has in terms of like the amount of points, the multipliers of it. I believe it's like 5 times on travel if you use the Platinum, 5 times on hotels if you use American Express Platinum. Groceries, I believe, is like 4 times the price if you go to certain grocery stores. And also if you go out dining, so 4 times the point. So these multipliers now start to like cascade. And again, I know I'm enjoying it, so I'm taking the benefit. But at the same time, it just feels kind of unfair because like, other people that can't do this, how are they, you know, like, so you have to save a lot longer to be able to do the same travel that someone like me would be doing. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel fair. But again, I'm just going to, like, I'm just sharing the game so that maybe other people can come and participate too, because I feel like it feels so somehow to be doing this on my own and like other people don't know, or like they're just like afraid of something. Man, it's very, very interesting time, you know, to be alive. But yeah, all right. I think I've spent enough time here. It's time for me to be good to my flight. You know, I mean, I'll catch you guys in the next one. Free game again. Catch you in the next one. Stay safe, you guys. Peace.